A decided advantage, Tom believed, over the complex hurdles facing couples who actually cohabitated. He'd been briefly married but had never had kids. Today, his ex-wife wouldn't accept a collect call from him if he were hemorrhaging to death on the street. He was 41 and had just lost his mother to a stroke. His father had been dead for several years. Being an only child, he was truly alone now, and that had made him introspective. Half his time on Earth was gone, and all he had to show for it was a failed marriage, no offspring, an informal alliance with a California voiceover queen, a truckload of newsprint, and some awards. By any reasonable measure, it was a miserable excuse for an existence. He'd had an opportunity for a wonderful life with another woman, but the relationship had, inexplicably, fallen apart. He now fully understood that not marrying Eleanor Carter would forever stand as the major mistake of his life. Yet, ever the man of action and wanderlust upon him once more, Tom was taking the train to L.A. for Christmas. Why the train, one might ask, when there were perfectly good flights that would get him there in a fraction of the time? Well, a guy can only take so many of those airport security search wands venturing into sacrosanct places, or requests to drop trousers in front of strangers, or ransacking of carry-on bags before blowing a big one. The fact was, he'd blown a big one at LaGuardia Airport. Not merely a nuclear meltdown, his detonation resembled something closer to the utter destruction of Pompeii. He'd just flown in from Italy after researching yet another bit of fluff, this time on winemaking, and imbibing more of the subject matter than he probably should have to get through the ordeal of crash learning soil diversification and vine rot. As a result, he was tired, cranky, and hungover. He'd slept for 3 hours at a friend's apartment in New York before heading to the airport to catch a flight to Texas. He'd been given an assignment to write about teen beauty pageants there, which he'd accepted because he enjoyed blood sports as much as the next person. At the security gate at LaGuardia, the search wand had smacked delicate things of Tom's person that it really had no business engaging, socially or otherwise. Meanwhile, another security person managed to dump every single thing from Tom's bag onto the conveyor belt. He watched helplessly as very personal possessions rolled by in front of suddenly interested strangers. To put a fine finish on this very special moment, he was then informed that a major warning flag had been raised regarding his ID, his hair color, his clothing choice, or the size of his nose. They were never really clear on that, actually. Thus, instead of flying to Dallas, he'd be enjoying the company of a host of FBI, DEA, CIA, and NYPD personnel for an unspecified period of time. The phrase 5 to 10 was even bandied about. Well, that, coupled with his exploited physical parts, was his absolute limit. So, the lava poured forth. Langdon was 6'2" and carried about 220 pounds of fairly hard muscle, and real honest-to-God steam was coming out his ears. His eruption involved language he ordinarily wouldn't use within 4 miles of any church, as he launched himself at the security team, grabbed their infamous search wand, and snapped it right in half. He wasn't proud of his violent act that day, although the rousing cheers from some of the other passengers who had heard and seen what had happened to him did manage to lift his spirits a bit. Thankfully, the magistrate Tom appeared before had recently endured airport security of an extremely overzealous nature, and when he gave his testimony, she and Tom shared a knowing look. Also, the red flag raised at the security gate had been, shockingly, a mistake. Thus, Tom only received a stern warning, with instructions to enroll in anger management classes, which he planned to do as soon as his uncontrollable urge to maim the fellow with the search wand subsided. However, the other consequence of the blow-up was that he'd been banned from placing his miserable person on any air carrier that flew within the continental United States for the next 2 years. He hadn't thought they could do that. But then he was shown the appropriate statutory power in the microscopic print of the airline's legal manifesto under the equally tiny section titled Lost Luggage Liability.